Hey guys, this week's episode had a little bit of an audio error where we recorded the room tone instead of the actual microphones. That said, it's a fun episode with our guest Langston Belton, so I hope you enjoy it.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming out to Comic Book Club Live. Please give it up for your hosts, Alex and Pete.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Pete.
And that's our guys, we had a rough time right at the
It was a tough start. I almost burned this fucking whole place down. There was like 2 minutes where I couldn't find my Lucky Punisher hat over here.
Well, wait,
and I thought someone was playing a trick on me.
Can we just explain, because we record this for the podcast as well as doing this for the live show, we should just explain, if you've never seen the live show, Pete has like a Punisher shrine?
I have a Punisher corner, a Punisher shrine, where over the years people have given me Punisher stuff, and it brings me luck. So I like to, it makes me feel comfortable and relaxed.
Is that, yeah?
Yeah, it calms me down having skulls and Punisher stuff.
I mean, that's horrifying. What's horrifying about it is like these dirty, gross slippers.
Stop saying that they're dirty and gross. They are not. They are
clean. When is the last time you washed them?
I washed them. They're in my
2005. I'm gonna say 2005.
No, man, they're in my dry cleaning rotation. I get them cleaned.
When's the last time you took them home from this theater?
Let's see. When was the last time we did dry cleaning? I did a suit.
Right,
so it was like
George W.
It was four weeks ago.
All right, I don't believe that. Yeah. But you got this hat. What would you have done? Let's say your hat was stolen. How would you have punished the people?
First person who was going to get punched is you. Yeah, because Justin's not here, so it had to have been you.
What? Why would I have taken it?
I don't know.
That hat is gross.
Dude, fuck you. It's not gross, man.
It's not.
It's a nice.
No, it's gross on a moral and emotional level.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
That's
your opinion.
That's your opinion, man. Do you know what's not my opinion? This is a fact. Our guest tonight is great. We love having him on the show.
Yeah, we do.
He's one of the performers in the hit off-Broadway show, Puffs. Ladies and gentlemen, Langston Belton! Yes!
Welcome to the show, sir!
Hello.
Seat.
Amazing to be back. Thank you for this nice, soft, red chair to sit in.
No, just
why are you sitting in the non-B? There's a couch back there.
This is my emotional support chair.
He almost got punched in the face, so he wanted to...
He almost got punished because of his grimy, gross slippers.
When I thought this chair wasn't here before the show, I actually burned the place to the ground. Lex, I'm very excited to have you here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Thanks for having me.
No, I'm just getting settled in.
Okay. I'm going to pretend we planned this. Langston, you are, I think, without doubt, the biggest Ant-Man fan.
I am.
Or at least
I am. Or the most pronounced. I say it out loud the most.
Yes. You're the one who isn't like,
I'm one of those people that's like, you know, people go like, oh, I was a fan of blank before it was cool. Like, I was a fan of Ant-Man before Ant-Man was cool.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Which is still now.
I disagree.
All right. Well, regardless,
you don't get sequels if your character's not cool.
That's true. That's true.
That's not true.
That's true.
The nature of this is that the Ant-Man and Wasp trailer was released this morning.
Yes.
Which was a little bit
I was up bright and early. Not because of the trailer, I was just up bright and early to take care of stuff. And I just so happened to have the lovely cookie to go with my coffee.
I didn't know. It was like lovely.
I started out and realized I left the premise at home. Yes.
Okay. Well, what did you think? What did you think about?
I liked it. I really, 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 really liked it. I just think it's just so crazy that there's going to be an Ant-Man and Wasp movie, and that they've carved out this part of the universe for them to exist. And it does have actual real implications, the trailer deals with. You hint at the fact that because Scott sided with Cap during the Civil War, whatever they're going to call it, the incident, the other incident the thing that happened at the airport, the airport incident. I think it's really cool that they're acknowledging that, and it really is almost like you can imagine that is how that first arc, the comic book arc of the cinematic Scott Lang, ended, with him choosing to side with Cap, and now the aftermath of, like, hey, you were a criminal before, and now you sided with Cap, you're even more of a criminal.
Don't push your Cap agenda, asshole. Fuck you, man. Cap is the right side.
Did you guys in the audience, did you check out this trailer yet today?
Well,
yeah, everybody's nodding.
Nodding, appropriate. I saw it a bunch of times. My favorite part was the Hello Kitty Pez dispenser.
Why is that your favorite part?
It's hysterical, like, because that's the fun.
Were you in hysterics when you saw it?
Yeah, I was.
Your eyes turned to spirals and you started... speaking in tongues, you went to hysterics when you saw it?
I went to the level of hysterics. No. I just love the fact of, like, what a great idea that because you can shrink anything and enlarge anything, that anything becomes a weapon.
Better than hashtag knife run? Knife run?
Yeah, running down the knife. Yeah, that was
knife run was very cool.
Knife run is like, that for me is like the same thing when I saw the first Ant-Man trailer of him running towards the guy shooting at him and running up the barrel of the gun. Like that moment, I was like looking around the theater like a crazy person, being like, that's why I told you he was fucking badass. Like, that's cool. That's an amazing. That for me is like one of my favorite Marvel shots they've ever done. Like, up there with like the Avengers. That circle shot, like Ant-Man running up the barrel of a gun that's shooting at him. I'm like, yeah, that's a splash page.
The reason I paused, because normally when Justin is here, they make fun of me because one of my favorite Punisher moments was the knife bullet moment.
Oh.
So when you were like...
you're talking about the point when Punisher ran up that barrel of a gun.
No, that didn't happen. But it was kind of a cool moment of like, what's more badass than bullets? Bullets that turn into knives.
Yeah.
You know,
wait.
Peter's relating a story of something that happened years ago on the show where we asked him, if you think the Punisher is cool, what if he shot knives instead?
Ooh.
So that's slightly unrelated to this, but thank you for bringing it up.
Yeah. So I just love this idea that anything becomes a weapon when you have that kind of power. And then it was just like, grab whatever you have close and throw it, and then we'll enlarge it. And it was just hysterical that, like, this guy literally jumps off his bike to get out of the way of a Hello Kitty Pez dispenser.
Hysterical. You're driven to hysterics. Which I was as well. The whole trailer drove me, but I want more Wasp. I want to see more of what she can do, because she can flash.
That's what they were doing. They did a good job of the trailer of setting up, like, okay, you know Scott Lang, you've seen him in a couple of movies now. Here's what he's up to now. Surprise, the Wasp is here as well.
And more capable than he is.
Way more capable.
Way more.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You should have heard from the beginning.
Yeah.
Well, they talked about that in the first one.
Yeah.
And it was a fun joke. But, like, what I'm worried about in the second one is, like, his sidekick was so, or his friend, not really sidekick, his friend was so funny and so well used as, like, the comic relief. That whole part was like, wait, did you tell this story to me because you knew that I knew? And I mean, every scene he was in was amazing, and I'm worried that they're
talking about Michael Pena.
Yeah, that they're going to use him too much in the second one.
I don't think so. I will say there's something I don't think they released online yet. I talked about it a couple of months back on the show. At the Marvel San Diego Comic-Con panel this year, they showed off a compilation reel, which you thought going into it was them talking about the history of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just Paul Rudd and Michael Pena sitting at a table and talking to the camera and breaking down everything. And it is so fucking funny. It's one of the funniest things I've seen. Their relationship is great. And it turned out that it was actually them. They tell the whole story of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in a hilarious fashion. And at the end, they're like, so what do you think? Do you want to come on board? And the camera turns around. It's Michelle Pfeiffer, hey, Janet Van Dyne, and the Wasp. And she's like, I don't know. that's the, no pun intended, stinger at the end.
Hey,
that video was great. I hope they're releasing it. But my point is more that their relationship is so good. It clearly translates to a compilation reel that I'm not worried about it too
much. Michael Douglas picking up the building like a luggage bag.
Yeah, it's great.
What's great, and the implications of that, because everything in that building is now up against the window. Anything that's not, is it all nailed down?
This is one of my, maybe you actually know the answer to this, but when you shrink things down, shouldn't they remain just as heavy? Like, they don't become lighter.
Pin particles allow you to shrink while retaining your original
weight. Right. So
that's why when he punches you, when...
If he doesn't control it,
right.
Like, it's the force of bullet.
If I got on top of a building,
of course.
I was able to grab a handle on a building, I wouldn't be able to pull it with me.
Is it still not the same density? I still think you're saying it still transfers the same amount of density. So if... all right, here we go.
Yeah.
If I pick up a chair from inside that building and I hit you with it, it should technically still have the same mass.
Right.
Okay.
But you could pick it up. Like, you can pick up Ant-Man if he's small because he does objectively weigh less, but he can transfer. He won't lose, like, kinetic energy when he punches you like a small thing would. He can still retain the power as if he was punching you like a full-grown person.
So the answer is comics.
Yeah, comics.
That's the best I can do with the time allotted to record.
Right. The thing that I'm actually most excited about with this movie is, and this is nothing against anybody who was previously involved in it, but that movie going into Ant-Man was a little bit of a mess. Because, I don't know how much you guys remember this, but Edgar Wright was on board. He originally came on, said, I want to do Ant-Man. They were developing it for years, and then at the last second, he fell off the project. And they brought in Peyton Reed, who is a very funny, very capable filmmaker, but he was very much making do with what they had. You know, they rewrote a bunch of it, they rejiggered a lot of it, but there's already a lot in progress at that point, and a lot of pieces in place. So I'm excited to see what Peyton Reed can do without that baggage.
Yeah,
I think that'll be just
a clean slate, going in with his own vision and being able to do whatever he wants, and it hasn't had to go through a number of filters, so
exactly.
it's gonna be the first pure Ant-Man and Wasp movie, which I'm very excited about.
The first Ant-Man and Wasp movie, so there you go.
Twofer.
Yeah.
We'll take what we can get. There's not a lot of Ant-Man things.
Plug your stuff. What should people be checking out?
So the big news is Puffs. Or 7 increasingly eventful years in a certain school of magic and magic. We are going to be filming the show to be released online for retail for people that cannot come to New York City. So that's going to be available online on different platforms coming soon, which is very exciting. So,
awesome. And have you guys already shot it?
No, we have not.
Ooh.
We are going to film the show. It's going to be interesting. A lot of newfangled stuff from our amazing set designer and prop designer and everything designer and general fun loving person in the show that keeps all of us looking cool and doing cool stuff. Madeline Bundy. That's on the program. All of that. It's her whole title.
You guys
there is not. The whole program is just a list of things that she does in the show.
Excellent. All right. Definitely check that out eventually when it comes out. Also, you can see Puffs.
You can check out puffstheplay.com. It's still playing in New World Stages. If you love the story of a certain boy wizard,
about Fred Savage when he goes to the Nintendo Cup.
Precisely. We also have power gloves. I want a power glove. Thank you. Now I get to go back and go like, hey, I want a power glove. My hair glove match.
It's going to be in your rider.
It was. I get a rider, a power glove, and only grape M&Ms. Skittles.
Gross.
All right, guys, definitely check that out, and we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
And with the stack, we're going to talk about some books that we particularly like this week. Right, Pete?
Yeah.
Great. Alright, let's kick it off talking about Batman Detective Comics number 973.
Very cool. Oh man.
Love this book because it's about a big guy who's very angry and made of clay.
I do love what they've done with Clayface in this book. It's been pretty amazing. But this run has been really great. I've been enjoying every issue. This issue is a big issue though. It's a big spoiler. I don't know if we want to spoil it.
Well, let's give a little bit of the setup. So, this is an arc called Fall of the Batman. Mm-hmm. This is writer James Tynion's take on kind of the X-Men, but with Batman characters. So, they formed this team. They've done this excellent job of giving each of the Bat characters very different focus points, very different skill sets. They've all been working together to become almost this paramilitary force that's been patrolling Gotham City. Crime is way down. But at the same time, of course, new enemies have risen, including a enemy called the First Victim. We don't know who the First Victim is yet, but you can intuit a little bit from the First Victim's name, exactly what's going on with the character. They've created this overarching plan that is going to bring down Batman once and for all, and one of the big parts of it is taking Clayface, who was a villain that Batman had reformed and made part of the team, and has become this beautiful, tragic character over the course
amazing
of
story arc.
The series, and essentially taking away his meds and letting him go back to Billy. And Clayface has become gigantic, been attacking Gotham City. And what do you want to talk about this issue?
So it comes down to this thing of, like, what do you do with something that is so out of control, right?
Yeah.
And they kind of make the choice that the only thing we can do, because nothing, we've tried all the other things, is get him to shrink down to human form and then shoot him in the head.
Yeah. And so this obviously is a big spoiler for the end. One of the most beautiful things about this arc is Cassandra Cain, who is orphan, who was Batgirl back in the own continuity, but is a very cool character. She is uncomfortable speaking. She was raised to not speak, to just be an assassin. But she's formed this really beautiful bond with Clayface. They become friends, and she watches as Batwoman shoots Clayface to the head with a bullet that probably is going to kill him.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the moment of, like, you know, close your eye. It's very cinematic. This book reminded me very much of a, like, Cloverfield disaster movie. Of, like, it was a monster movie. Like, it was all of these characters who have dealt with so many other things, like, dealing with this very one, very large but isolated problem within Gotham City.
Now, how are you guys feeling about this? Like, you know, I feel like you know, they did a good job of exhausting everything like this, but it's this thing of, like, you know, comes back to this thing, like, superheroes are up against all the time, like, do you kill? Is that wrong, you know? And in this thing, you know, Clayface is running amok, trashing Gotham, killing tons of people, destroying things.
Yeah, well, then you gotta go.
That's the thing, like, do you have to shoot him?
But so why are you asking this? You of all people who have a shrine to the Punisher next to you?
Who exclusively shoots people that may or may not deserve
it. Yeah, yeah. I that's what I'm saying. I'm putting it to you guys.
Well, I would say, first of all, I don't think Clayface is totally dead because he's made of clay. So I think he's probably going to come back. It'll be all right, though. It'll be a journey. Second thing is, what I like about this choice is it creates a dividing point between Batman and Batwoman, where Batman is like, no, that is the line that is too far.
Right.
Batwoman has a military background. She has pushed things occasionally in terms of her methods, and that's what's going to destroy this team, is that fracture between the two of them, which I think is really cool just in terms of the element of the storytelling possibilities it opens up.
I think it's cool to see Batman have to deal with that, because it is it's a very real threat. Like, he's seeing, like, you know, he's driving the Batmobile, the great panel of him, like, essentially driving the Batmobile into the gaping maw that is Clayface's mouth, and it's like, you know, what are you going to do, like, put him in Arkham Asylum in, like, a jar or something? Like, what are you going to do to, like, contain this thing? Like, eventually there has to be a permanent solution. Like, he never did with the Joker. You know, there's been stories about what would happen if he did, but it's like, this is more than just a crazy clown that's a murderer that we could put away if we wanted to. This is like a force of nature that could, like, destroy the city. And I do like the idea that Batwoman, and again, her having a military background kind of also shows, like, yeah, this person has a legit reason why they feel like killing is a thing that needs to happen. Because I'm in the military, and at some point it comes down between you and enemy force, and there is a lens there that even Batman doesn't have, because he was not in the military. He's never killed anyone. So it's like, and certainly not killed anyone that's, like, sanctioned by, like, you know, hey, you had to do your job. So I think that's a really cool, very real, and very realistic argument that Batman can have.
And it's funny, because it's like, I very much love violence in comics, because I feel like it's a safe place for violence, to put them in comics, so it doesn't happen in real life.
Why
I had a problem.
No, why don't you say it like that? To the side, Pete.
What?
What are you planning?
This is where my rage lives.
You gotta take him out before he gets too far. Come on.
Yeah. That's the thing. When I saw a spoiler, I was like, Zelda would do that to me. He'd shoot me in the head. No problem. If I got too out of control, you would definitely just take me out and wouldn't think twice about it.
If you expressed an incorrect opinion about Squirrel Girl, I'd take you out.
But that's the thing. I love violence, yet I really had a problem with this. I was like,
really?
I was like, I don't. I just felt so wrong to see Clayface get shot in the head like this.
There you go, comics people. All right, next one. Talking about Black Magic number 10 from Image Comics. This book is great. If you're not picking it up, it's about a cop who is secretly a witch, and there is a coven of witches. She has become embroiled in a mystery that it threatens to destroy her double life. This book is great.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely...
What do you like about it, Pete?
I like the idea of, like, this person who has their kind of, like, day job, and then also the things that she does at night, being in this kind of, like, coven and stuff, but she's also still a good guy. Just because she changes jobs doesn't mean that she kind of changes who she is. She's just fighting evil on two fronts. And I really like the choices that they're making with this book. And in this issue in particular, we've kind of been in the dark about what's going on. We really get to see who the bad guys are and what's at stake here.
That's the craziest thing about this issue to me, is it has been pretty balanced. You know, it's one of those books where, for the most part, like, ooh, there's magical things every now and again. But this is like, nope, evil demons walk the earth,
real
bad destroy
demon.
Everything.
People in white with pentagrams in their chest.
Yeah, exactly.
I really, really like the photorealism of the artwork in it, and I like the fact that it seems like it's almost like reading a TV show. Like, you know what I mean? I love cinematic, especially because everything now is cinematic, but it's like, I love treating these stories like you are watching an episode of a TV show, especially when it's dealing with something that's so real world as this. I like that they are leaning into, like, the realism of the world and, like, the three-dimensional characters. Like, not every... People look like people. They don't look like how this world looks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's cool. And I also love... I mean, witches and stuff is fun.
Right? Yeah, it's good. If you're looking for a good supernatural mystery-type series...
That cat is badass.
That cat is outrageous. That cat is a vulgar... There's a vulgar... If you like Sabrina, but the cat was too much, not like what a real cat would be like if it had a human voice.
Yeah.
This cat talks like I imagine all cats do.
Yeah.
Just vulgar, potty mouth cat.
Yeah, it's great. All right, let's move on to our last pick, Luke Cage, number 169, also from Marvel Comics.
Great cover,
from
too.
From Marvel Comics. Mm-hmm. You've been a big fan of the series for a while, right?
Yeah. I really like it. Since this new writer has taken over, I've really enjoyed
F. Walker.
Yep. I've been reading every issue. This is, to me, really feels like a classic Luke Cage story. A bunch of shit goes down, and then Luke Cage is just like, enough. I'm taking things in my own hands. I'm just going to whip a bunch of ass, and it is so enjoyable to see him just kind of take over. And, I mean, it's a classic, you know, mind games type of scenario that we've seen in a lot of comic books, but when it comes to Luke Cage, it still feels fresh and fantastic.
So, very quickly, the idea of the arc is that Luke Cage goes to visit some old friends. I think it was a couple of issues back, maybe it was a funeral, but he ends up in a small town, and it's the typical driving back to the small town. Gets stopped by a cop. The cop's like, oh shit, Luke Cage is here, and Luke Cage is just passing by. But instead, he gets sent to prison, and it turns out the ringmaster from the Circus of Crime is running the prison and expanded his powers and brainwashed everybody. What I really like about this in particular is, like, you have your Luke Cage villains and your Luke Cage-style villains. Ringmaster is not one that
I expect at all,
but it's a lot of fun. Like, it's a good combination. And that's one of the enjoyable things about the Marvel Universe. Like, they're playing with this in the Captain America book a little bit as well, where Cap keeps going to these different towns, and the villains are like, oh, crap, Cap is here, take me down. And he's like, I wanted some pie, please. Guys.
Just happened to be in the way of me getting to my pie.
And so, to Pete's point, what happens in this issue is Luke gets his memory back, and he's like, oh, my god. Just destroys everybody.
It's amazing.
It's great. Have you been reading this book?
I have not been reading. I've been on the Black Panther camp recently.
Sure.
It's so much. It's too much.
You got to get ready for the movie.
I know. I've been cramming and reading and every article and everything about. But what I like about this book is that it really is the very, like, of course, Luke Cage, like the black exploitation aspect of the character. There's a lot of that in the character. There's a lot of him making quips. There's a lot of him like being still being in this like dire situation, but still being unapologetically Luke Cage.
Yeah.
And like even the fact that he ties the bandana and the cloth around his ears, so he like can't hear the commands, so he can't get brainwashed. And then, like, you know, him saying he's gonna, you're gonna get a foot to your ass. It's like, I'm like, yeah, that's what I want Luke Cage to sound like.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
He's supposed to beat people up because he's bulletproof and he has super strength. I really like the idea that it's always Luke Cage thrown into these situations. And especially, like you said, this villain is not at all, it's not a physical threat to him. It's kind of like what we saw in the show, like with Kilgrave. The idea that Luke Cage is vulnerable to like mind control. What happens when he has to protect himself against someone turning him against other people, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's great. All right, that's it for the stack.
Yeah!
Yes, we're going to move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience question.
Oh, yes.
For that, you're going to get some free comics and other sundry stuff, maybe some collectibles, just for asking a question.
Yeah, we got one collectible.
Do you want to save that for something?
No, it's first person we ask a question, we're going to say, do you want the collectible or the comics?
Oh, okay. Well,
and they
this guy actually over here
is
one of our this was had up first. So, what's your name? What's your question?
Hi, guys. Hey,
Susan.
Your question. Would you guys ever consider running a one-shot Dungeons & Dragons game? And if so, what type of character would you play?
I can answer that. I always play, and every time I do role-playing type games, I end up being like a knight of some kind. I always end up playing a knight who has just found out that his way of life is a lie. A knight that's like, I've adhered to this code forever. What do you mean I'm a rube? And it's like, I always play that, and then I end up losing my code of honor, and it's a lot of fun. Because it's fun. I mean, so yes, I would play a knight always, like, on the cusp of Punisher. Yes.
Yeah.
Punisher Knight.
I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons, I think, since high school.
Yeah.
I would love to play it again if anybody would ever invite me,
you guys.
My biggest problem with all RPGs and all fantasy games that I've ever played is I always play a warrior because I think for like a Dungeons & Dragons, like I'm going to inhabit this character, I'd be terrible at it. But I always choose a warrior because the only mode I know is just like bluntly push ahead. That's it. That's the most uncomplicated way of playing this game.
That's how I lived my whole life.
Yeah, because all the wizards are like, use your magic points and these other
things.
Yeah,
you know, so much stuff. Like, you gotta roll for success, all that stuff.
Yeah, whatever. I'm gonna roll for smash.
Did I miss or not?
Yeah, exactly. What would you do, Pete?
Well, I haven't played Dungeons & Dragons since the 8th grade. I remember my friend Ryan Marks was really into it, and I would go over to his house because he had Dungeons & Dragons, which he really liked, but he also had a Sega Genesis, which I did not have. So I would have to put up with playing Dungeons & Dragons so I could play a Sega Genesis.
Put up? Oh, you know, that's not
good. I had a hard time wrapping my head around Dungeons & Dragons. So that was kind of like my first and last time playing it. So,
what would you play? What kind of character?
I
know fantasy tropes.
That's right, but I remember I would get to roll the dice, and then he would tell me what happened. It basically was how it worked.
So you would be a non-player character. Is what you
mean? I was just like, dude, whatever, man.
You'd be an
innkeeper.
Oh, yeah, innkeeper.
When we could play altered beasts.
You really haven't played like Dungeons like as adults.
No,
I don't know. It doesn't sound like you think you should shame someone for it, but you add like you know alcohol to it, it's amazing. You get so into it. Like I ran a game with my friends, not Dungeons & Dragons, but another game called GURPS, and we were doing like this space campaign, and we got into it. We were at my friend's house. He called me into another room because he was like, "I want to have a conversation with you. I need to talk to you." And they were like, "Well, have it." He goes, "I don't want you to hear it." And they were like, "Well, why not?" He goes, "Because I don't want you to." And we got to a beat. He's like, "No." And we had a conversation in character for like 10 minutes because he'd been drinking. And that's what makes it fun.
Yeah, the problem is I get too into things.
That's what I want.
Get too passionate.
I want maximum Dungeons and Dragons beat. Yeah.
There. I don't want to exaggerate, but if Pete played Dungeons and Dragons and was drunk and was any sort of like warrior or knight, there's a 100% chance somebody would end up dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just playing Trivial Pursuit drunk with my family, and I threatened my brother's life with his daughter on my lap. So, like, I was, like, being all polite and nice with her, but I was like, I will fucking end you. I will throw your daughter onto that couch and beat you in front of everybody. So, yeah, me, yeah, it's a problem.
Invite?
Oh, did you want just comics or comics and also action figure, or what's the collectible? Sorry.
Sure,
collectible.
You're getting a Walking Dead collectible from McFarlane Toys.
Nice.
Let's get another question. You, sir, right over there. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin. You were talking about with Luke Cage, you know, the comics where the hero just kind of shows up and stumbles on something. And that was putting me in mind of, like, say, Murder, She Wrote. Are there any good, like, episodic mystery comics?
That's a good question. I'm sure there are, and I'm sure that I've read them, and I'm not thinking of anything. There was, oh gosh, I'm totally blanking on it. There was a book that came out a little while ago from, I think, Dark Horse by Paul Tobin about a woman who could sense mysteries, and once she did, she knew the answer to them. I'll have to, if you're listening online, I'll try to find out what it is and post it in response to this episode or something, and maybe I'll try to tell you after the show. But
wait, she knew that something would be up, and she would know the answer to it?
She knew the answer to it. Like, basically, people would come to her, and she'd be like, your mystery is this, and this is the answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ends up, of course, in a mystery that she can't figure out the answer to. But each issue, at least initially, is pretty self-contained.
There was that, what was that one from Vertigo? It was like House of Mystery or something. It was very popular.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of.
I mean, speaking of mysteries, we kind of like,
yeah, that's more like supernatural.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Identity Crisis. I mean, some people don't like Identity Crisis. I happen to be okay with it. I mean, that's like mysteries, and like Watchmen, I think, is a great episodic mystery comic that's very self-contained.
That is a very interesting question, though. I'm sure there is an actual answer to it, and we just don't know what it is right now, but we'll find out.
That's the mystery.
Yeah, there we go. I think we take another question. Anybody? You, sir, over there. All right, we're going to come on over. Crisscross with Pete. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Caesar, and the question is, okay, what contemporary model of car, if you see it, would make you feel like you're driving a Batmobile?
Wow.
That's it. I was wondering where that was going. I was like, what contemporary model of car would you buy? I was like, I don't know. I mean, that's
A Prius.
Really?
What? Because it's got a bunch of stuff going on. I don't know. I was thinking maybe the new
Dodge Challenger and any new fangled muscle car, because it has the same kind of, like, you imagine that the Batmobile, like, speaking of which, like, in the Detective Comics, like, the Batmobile in it very much resembles the animated series Batmobile.
Yeah, which, to me, that's the Batmobile.
It is, because it makes the most sense that a car, the engine would have to be, like, five engines in a car.
Yeah.
Then it's just like, I put a steering wheel on these five
also
engines.
Also, the, like, the opening, the way
I love that. Come on, you can't, it's so, it's best design for Batmobile. But, yeah, I would say maybe, like, a Dodge Challenger. Any sports car, right? Or to be fair, like a minivan, because he has so many different types of Batmobiles. So a Prius is not wrong.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. First off, you kind of said a lot of things and blew my mind there. A minivan is not. Nobody should see a minivan and think Batmobile.
What about in Dark Knight Returns, the giant like tank that he had? Minivan.
So yeah, a tactical tank might be more of a Batmobile than, you know.
You can do stuff to a minivan.
Sure, you could. But, like, the minivan is not a Batmobile. Like, you can't do
anything. Until you turn into a Batmobile.
You, what? It would have to completely transform so it wouldn't look like a minivan.
If you're a superhero, then you're looking to outfit your bat minivan, your bat van.
Oh, man.
Do you think maybe that Batman would be better served to have a minivan? Because
yes.
He has a whole bat family.
Yep. Bat family. Boom, there it is. Everybody, we want ice cream. We want ice cream. Everybody pile up the bat van.
Everybody into the bat van. Come on.
Yes.
Jim, we're going to put on a movie for you in the back. This is horrible.
No,
this is horrible. What you guys are doing is horrible.
That's what I want to see. Batman coming out of the Batcave, Edward in the back of the van, Robin's being just shitty, Damian's being, he's in a car seat, Batwoman's in the front, like, you don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
You don't know where you're going.
And because it's a minivan, you can put the bat cow in there, too. Yeah, yeah.
Bats on board. Or babies on board. Who knows?
Jason, use the cup holder, Jason. Come on, let's move our fortress. Come on. The images that you're putting in my head
Come
is making
on,
me so
fun.
Angry.
How fun is that?
It's not fun. It's the opposite of
Jason
fun.
Todd can't.
You're
stand.
Taking something that's cool and
Jason
putting
Todd's,
ordinary.
Jason Todd's that his guns. He's like, come on, you guys.
I think the problem with your question is we don't know enough about cars to answer.
No, we know enough about. We don't know.
You guys know a fucking Prius, and you know what a van is. Other than that, we didn't, you know.
Why are you so hot about this? I just think that Batman had a minivan.
You're ruining the Batmobile by comparing it to
so
a fucking
Batmobile.
Minivan.
There is a Batmobile in his Batcave that has the make and model of your average 2008 Batman.
No,
it's
not. No, no.
Who said, you know, yes, he does.
No, he does not.
What if you're telling me that Batman, the guy who has
yes.
a kryptonite ring, doesn't have a car that can fit 5 to 8 people?
Maybe, but it doesn't
maybe,
fit no fucking minivan.
That's offensive right. to Batman. he'd be pissed. He'd be pissed. He was like, you think I can't fit 8 people in a car? He can fit 8 people in a car.
Yeah, but he would do it cool. He wouldn't fucking be like, I've designed the perfect minivan.
He wouldn't say that. Someone else would say that, and he'd be brooding, and it'd be
here,
like,
take these comments. I hope they're actually
fucking Caesar. Could you kind of picture them turning around and be like, don't you, Robbins, make me turn this thing around. Come on.
That's a perfect bit for you, because you've done all these.
I love it.
You've had all these moments in your family.
He doesn't know how to adjust the seats.
I just looked up.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. I'm going to bring it up.
Can I see that title?
Oh, okay. All right. We got Guy built Christopher Nolan's Batmobile tumbler out of a minivan.
Just because there's a picture of something on the internet doesn't make it
picture
true.
And article and title.
And that's another question.
Yeah.
All right, guys. We are going to move on to our next section, which is very briefly Wiki Geek.
Yeah!
Out of the Wiki Geek, we talk about some other things happening elsewhere in the world of geek, mostly TV news and stuff. Let's be through it a little bit because there's a couple of things that are going on. First of all, announced today, coming to DC's new streaming service is a series called Metropolis. It's from the Gotham producers, the guy who's
really?
The executive producer
yeah.
of Gotham, and it takes place before Superman in Metropolis and
this.
Focuses... Wait, hold on. Focus on Lois Lane and Lex Luthor investigating weird science mysteries.
What? Come on! Gotham! Gotham barely did this, and it was...
I came up with it. That's
how
that I came up with.
Are people just
last
pitching?
Night after how many gin and tonics? That sounds great.
No.
In the best way. It sounds like you're gonna... Alright, because here's what...
You can't sustain that bit for more than 5 seconds.
That's what makes it great, because when this thing has 12 seasons, and Lex Luthor, it's going to be his alternate self from the past, who doesn't remember that he met Lois Lane, but then it's going to be a different Lois Lane, there's going to be a Lois Lane, then there's going to be an alternate Lois Lane, that's going to be have a whole bunch of articles written about it, because there's going to be an alternate version of her, that's going to be like, it's going to be great, because it's going to blow out of proportion. 5 episodes in.
The problem that they're of course going to run into is they're going to start introducing all the Superman villains, and the continuity is going to make any sense. I hope, like they've kind of done on Gotham, even though they keep pretending that they're like, oh, we're still on this path to Batman, even though clearly they're not.
No,
I hope the lesson that they learned is like, ah, fuck it, just treat it as a different continuity. Don't worry about it. Well, Lois Luthor and Lois Lane clearly have romantic tension and fall in love or whatever.
Why is Lois
Don't Lord? Say fall in love with the L or whatever. They cannot fall in love.
They
Her name
they
starts
will.
And ends with an L. His name starts and ends with
That's
an L.
That's not how relationships work.
I married a woman named that I can't think of any.
Yeah, okay. That's what I was going to say.
Amanda Zubintrap. There we go. All right.
I was like, where are you going with this?
Okay, let's move on to another little piece of news that I'm sure you're happy about. Happy is coming back for a second season.
Yes!
Very cool, yeah. It's very cool. I haven't read the book, but I watched the pilot, and it was very, very enjoyable.
Yeah, the show is just so fucked up in such a fun, fantastic way, and they're just really having a great time with it. I mean... the guy who plays
Chris Moloney,
yeah, is unbelievable. Just so great as that character, and it's so fucked up and dark, yet so light and fun. And it does such a good job of walking that line. And Patton Oswalt as the voice of Happy is just like absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's great.
It's a crazy ass show that you can't. Like, if you try to explain, people look at you like, oh, my God, you were so fucked up. I was telling, because I was watching on my lunch break, and they're like, why are you laughing so hard? And I was trying to explain that, like, this guy kidnapped all these kids, and they were just like, oh.
That's what they said, you were fucked up, because you're watching on your lunch break, and they came up to you like, hey, what's so funny? And you were like, this guy kidnapped a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
This is
funny. But it's really
funny. You tell stories like this. All the time for work, where you're like, oh, I was just, you know, watching the first episode of Punisher at work over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And people kept coming over and being like, hey, what are you doing? You're like, watching the Punisher. Everybody in your work thinks that you're going to kill them, I think.
I'm sure.
Pretty
yeah.
recently.
Yeah, it's fun, though.
Please don't.
I'm not going
to. Okay, or I'll have to take you out.
I know you would.
All right, last thing to talk about. The first screenings of Black Panther happened last night.
Very true.
A bunch of reactions come out. People seem to be bowled over, seem to love it. What do you guys think? Are you going to go see this movie?
No.
The question is, how many times are you going to see it in the movie theater?
Yeah, baby. I mean, it's the biggest thing. I keep saying it's the biggest thing that's ever happened. It's like now white people have no choice. it's the perfect storm, right? It's the perfect storm, especially from as a black man from the outside looking in. It's like you're gonna go see that movie because you have to. But there's two of you in it, and they're both it's Frodo and it's two hobbits. It's a bunch of black people and two hobbits, and one of them has a robot hand, and it's like. There's no accessibility for, like, your average white person, and that's real fun for us. Because it's like, I know, this is amazing. Every black actor that's ever been black or acted is in this movie. But, it's very exciting.
You're probably going to see a lot of people look at us being like, oh, I really like the Stan Lee cameo.
Yeah, no, that's the best thing. It's the conversation afterwards, people being like, so do they all shave their heads? Like, black women shave their heads, and maybe you're like, why do you mean that this? And they go, no, it's fine, but yeah, some do. It's gonna be that. It's gonna be the genuine white fright.
You think white people are gonna come up to you asking about hair?
That's
gonna happen?
White people come up to people and touch their hair.
Well, yeah, I've seen stupid videos.
Yeah, I've seen, but I'm saying, like, yeah, it's people gonna, people have already asked me questions that I can tell in their eyes that they're embarrassed. Because they know that I know the truth. They're like, someone asked me, did they name Black Panther Black Panther because he was black? And I was like, I mean,
there's a lot.
Like,
to
and again, that's
a lot
to unpack. And that's the whole thing is, but it's like, people come to one of us, it's like, we get the newsletter, and it's like, hey, this week, you're going to be asked this.
Oh,
that's what's going to be so fun about Black Panther. Now, again, you have no choice, and you can't. Like, white people can't go to other white people and be like, so what about Black Panther? It's like, they have to go to a black person, and for some people, that's going to be very stressful to be like, hey, I really like the movie. It's like, yeah, I know you did. So,
That's funny you said that, because I made that joke at work. I was like, you guys, because we're planning a work function, and they were like, what about the 16th? I was like, what the fuck? There's nothing planned for the 16th.
How
that's when Black Panther comes out. And they were like, oh, great. And then this worker comes up to me. She was like, oh, I saw the trailer for Black Panther. I'm so excited. And I'm going to be like, I feel like afterwards it's going to be this thing of like, hey, you excited to see Black Panther? They're going to be like, yeah, I'm definitely going to go see Black Panther.
Because
I have to. It was
you
like
can't
the thing.
Not. That's the best thing. You have, they have to see it. If you don't go see it, the nerds will be mad at you because it's like you didn't fucking support Marvel and shit. And if you did go see it, then Black Panther will be like, hey, what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah.
So you have to go. And if you don't like the movie, which I'm sure some people might not like the movie, and that's totally fine. Listen, I have no problem if you don't like a movie. I have no problem. Movies are not for everyone. But this movie, if you don't like it, not only does it explain why you didn't like it, but it's like, what was it about this movie? What was it about this movie that you didn't like? Bruh, and it's gonna be a lot of that. It's gonna be a lot of that. And it's gonna be so much fun to watch because it's not fair. It's not fair. And it's the first time you felt it be not fair. That's the whole thing.
Yeah. Awesome. Can't wait to go see it.
That's it. Guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which is trivia. Turn it over to Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win 25 free dollars in the form of the... yes, you, first hand up. Come on down.
All right, come on down.
It's an opportunity to win 25 free dollars. Today's trivia in honor of Langston is going to be on Ant-Man. So how it's just going to work is listen to the question, then all three possible answers, and then if you get all three questions right, $25 is yours. What is your name, sir?
My name is Sean.
Sean, audience. Audience Sean. All right, here's first question. Why did they not pick Hank Pym to be the main character of the Ant-Man movie? Was it A, because of his shady backstory, B, because Scott Lang is more popular, or is it C, Sandy Lyle? So it's either A.
It's A.
Yes, you are correct. That is correct. Here we go. Second one is true or false. So true or false, Hank Pym is actually the smartest scientist in the Marvel Universe. I would like to put a rider on this or a little... what's that little thing called? Asterix. That's what I'm looking for. This is Riri was not introduced yet when this trivia was done. So, excluding Riri in this. True or false? So it's either A, true, B, false, or is it C, Lester Bangs? So it's either A, true, or B, false. That is correct, yes. I did not know this. That Hank Pym was actually the smartest scientist.
He was a scientist supreme.
Smarter than Reed Richards.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I didn't know. I figured he was
worst
smarter
person.
Than, well, that's true.
Both bad people.
All right, here we go. Last one. Who is the first person to play Ant-Man on TV? Is it A? He laughs because he knows. Is it A, David White, B, Garrett Morris, or is it C, Truman Capote? So
no.
It's either A or it's B. Garrett Morris.
You're confusing me. It's...
Say B.
B, it's B.
Yeah, that's correct. On SNL, Garrett Morris played the first Ant-Man on TV.
There you go.
Fun fact.
Good actual facts, B.
Yeah.
Nice job.
Facts.
Here's your $25 gift card.
Guys, as we all know, tomorrow is a new comic book day. We recommend you get a Midtown Comics. Because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show, Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh, man, a lot of great stuff coming out tomorrow. Mainly, though, I'm looking forward to Samurai Jack, Quantum Jack. It's Samurai Jack had an amazing run on Adult Swim, and, he finally won. But the comic is still going, so I still get to live the struggle in the comic.
All right. I'm really looking forward to a book called Hungry Ghosts, number one, from Dark Horse Comics. No idea what it's about, but there's a place called Hungry Ghost that's a couple of blocks away from me in Brooklyn. That's a very good cafe. They have a really good coffee. Their pastries are delicious.
Yeah, a little pricey, but they're good.
Yeah, but I'm excited to see if this comic is an adaptation of that story.
I'm sure it is.
We'll see what happens. Or if it's about actual Hungry Ghosts, that's pretty cool too.
Even better. I'm looking forward to Thanos because I love this book. I love what they're doing. I love Thanos is about to be a big deal when Marvel Studios Avengers Infinity War comes out later this later this year. So I like the idea of I love any book that explores villains' backstories and treats villains as characters. Just because they are presented as the bad guy on their side, they don't feel like the bad guy. So this is really fun in seeing Thanos deal with his future self in a time where he's already won and he has a wacky ghostwriter. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's a very good book.
A couple of things to plug before we go. Actually, plug your stuff again. What you
can yes, you go to puffstheplay.com for information about the show and the filming. You go to newworldstages.com as well for tickets.
It's an amazing show.
Thank you so much. And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Langston Milton.
All right.
Also, next week on the show, our guests are going to be Fred Van Lente and Ryan Dunlavy.
Yeah.
Here to plug Action and Presidents, their new book. Very exciting. So that should be awesome. Come on down. Also, the show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost us a little bit of money to do. So if you'd like to donate something, throw it into the hat over there or patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, I want to mention, if you watch the show Riverdale, we have a Riverdale podcast called Riverdale After Dark that is in a separate podcast feed on iTunes and other sundry places, so go check it out there. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Check us out on Twitter at Comic Book Live, on comicbookclublive.com, plus nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Eamon Bell, Tom Dar, Craig Fletcher, Dave McCall.